Well, hi, everybody, and welcome into this week's Clemson Athletics Podcast. Don Munson, along with our head golf coach, Larry Penley, whose club will be traveling out to Portland, Oregon, to take part in the Nike Elite at Pumpkin Ridge, which is a great golf course, one of the better golf courses that we have in this country, several USGA events there, all that kind of good stuff. Before we talk about that one, you've already gotten two tournaments in, one at the Farm, that is just right over in Dalton, Georgia, so not far from here. And then one out in Scottsdale, Arizona, where you went out, the Maui Gym there. And Larry, just scoring-wise, just two completely different tournaments for your guys so far. You and I were talking prior to us recording this, and basically said, hey, the difference got down just speed of the greens.
Yeah, it was difficult conditions at the Farm. The golf course was perfect. I like that golf course. It's a Tom Fazio design, and it's one of his best, I think. And usually we play very well there. The terrain and the topography is so much like the courses we play here. It's almost like playing at home. But we get there during the practice round. The greens are a little slow. I had already warned the guys and talked to the guys about the pace of the greens and how fast they're going to be. Well, they're making comments like, well, these greens aren't that slow, Coach. Well, guess what? They double cut, double rolled twice a day the entire rest of the event, and the greens sped up probably 3 to 3.5 feet, which is a lot. And it kind of changed game plans. We didn't do a very good job of adjusting of where we needed to leave the ball to score the ball, and it really showed in our play. We had a couple other issues too, which I take blame for. We had an all-out qualifier for the tournament, and our returning best player, Kyle Cottom, who made All-American last year and finished 11th in the NCAAs, finished 5th in the qualifying, but I wanted to play Carter Penley, who's playing at home on his home course for his first tournament, so we played Kyle as an individual, and Kyle goes out and finishes 3rd. So if Kyle finishes 3rd for our team instead of as an individual, it's a whole different deal. But it cost us 5 places. We go from finishing 2nd and barely getting beat by Georgia Tech to finishing tied for 7th and getting killed by some teams that have no business beating us. So that's kind of what happened. But there were a lot of other things, too. We didn't do a very good job of planning. We didn't do a very good job of setting game plans and or sticking to them. And that was our main focus in going to Phoenix. We didn't do anything different other than put Kyle back in the lineup. And we went out there with the sole purpose of, all right, let's find a plan we can execute. Let's find a plan that works. Each guy's plan is going to be different. And the guys really did a good job with it. And we actually played very well. Turk Pettit played incredible and almost won a golf tournament. So that was another Fazio golf course. And the layout, actually, at Maribel, it's probably harder than the layout at the Farm. The only difference is the speed of the greens. Mm. We have bent grass greens at Maribel, and they were rolling about 9.5, maybe 10, which was a perfect speed to make a lot of putts, and you really didn't have to worry about 3-putting. So that's how the conditions changed. And we had virtually no wind the entire week. There was always a slight breeze in Dalton that was just enough to aggravate you, just enough to give you a little bit of doubt. But you know, it's a learning process. We've played twice. We're getting ready now for, we have two really big tournaments this fall, and that's the one coming up in the U.S. Collegiate in Alpharetta. Those are the ones that we really need to be at our best because the fields are so strong. So we've got that one coming this week, and, I think the guys will be ready.
Well, just to give fans that have not followed this, team plus 21 at the Farm, a team minus 29, so a 50-stroke difference team-wise out there in Arizona. And you mentioned Turk Pettit. Obviously, Turk here had just an incredible freshman campaign. Incredible freshman campaign. Then, I blame it, he gets his clubs stolen. His clubs actually get stolen from him. And I, that's like, I don't know how to explain it, but for a golfer, you steal my clubs – then now I've been playing with these. I'm used to that. They're like friends. They're like relatives to you. You know, now he's got to get something to use. So hopefully this is a sign that, hey, I've matched up with new things, new tools, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, he is a tremendous talent, and one of the best players really I've ever seen. And when he's on, we are a different team. We go from being a, in my mind, a top 15, top 12 team, to probably being a top 5, top 3 team. That's how big a difference it is. And to see him step up after having a horrible first round at the farm, you know, the 85, he had done such a good job in the qualifying. I think he shot 272 in 4 rounds. I think 287 was par. We played one round on a par 71 course. So he shoots 15 under par in our qualifying rounds. And he gets there and has just a ridiculously tough day. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And then he played really good the second day. He shoots 85-70 and then shoots 76 the last day with a 10. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the planning stages that I was talking about. It wasn't a very good course management decision. He was trying to get all of those 85 shots back at one time, and you just can't do that. And it really cost him, and it cost our team. But we fixed all that, and then we tried to make sure that, you know, what you do is good enough. You don't have to try to keep your hand on the panic button or on the full throttle. Let's just get a little more conservative with our game plan and make confident, aggressive swings, and let's see where that takes us. And that's kind of what he did. And he is a tremendous putter. He gave himself opportunities to make putts, and he made a lot of putts. I'm a little worried about him right now. He just got back from a PRTM field trip in Baltimore, and he came back with 103 temperature. So he goes all day Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday without practicing, which is not like him at all because he's a range rat. But he's up there in Baltimore doing the PRTM deal. Then we get him back yesterday morning, and he goes straight and sees Dr. Eve. So we've got him loaded up with antibiotics right now. Hopefully by this afternoon he'll be able to put a golf club in his hand, and we'll make an assessment as to whether or not he's going to go this week. Mm. But hopefully he'll be okay and play.
All right, so off you go to the Nike Elite. And this is a pretty cool deal because not only are you playing it at Pumpkin Ridge, and we'll talk about that course, but you get to do a lot of other things. You get to go to Nike Worldwide Headquarters. I understand you're going to get to meet with Brooks Koepka out there. So some pretty neat things for your guys.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing experience. You know, one of the cool things about being a Nike Elite school is you get invited to this tournament. The negative is, if there is a negative, of the 15 teams that are there, all 15 are in the top 25 in the country. So, I mean, you got to bring it this week. I mean, you really have to bring it. But to be able to take them over to what they call the campus, I think Koepka is meeting with all the teams in the Coach K room, which is really a cool place. There's going to be a speaker there talking about the history of Prefontaine, the long distance champion. So they're going to really get to learn a lot and hear a lot. And Nike does such a good job with this. So I'm really looking forward to it, as are the players. Pumpkin Ridge is one of my favorite courses. I've played there a lot. We've been there a lot. DJ Trahan won the U.S. Public Links there. Tiger Woods won one of his U.S. AMs there. So this golf course has a lot of history. We're able to play the Witch course. They have two there, the Ghost and the Witch. We will be playing the Witch, which is the better of the two, for the 54-hole championship. And it's they treat it like a major. And you get a kind of a major vibe, a major feel, almost like an NCAA feel about it because the field is so strong. I was looking at the field last night. I think 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 9. We just moved to 18th, and we're one of the worst teams there. So it's really going to be exciting. And I know the guys are looking forward to it.
All right. Since you've been there so often, Just take me through, you get one practice round. So take me through that practice round and exactly what you want your guys to do as they go around getting their books ready, because they have, you know, obviously yardage books and stuff that they'll carry with notes that'll be in that. So, and, you know, just talk about that day and the importance of that day.
It might be the most important day of the week. I tell them all the time the practice round is just as important as the final round. I've always believed that if you can go out and shoot something close to the lowest score during the final round, you're going to find yourself racing up that leaderboard. Well, the practice round is as important. We got to get sight lines for tee shots. It's going to be cool. The temperature is going to be in the 40s in the morning. I think the highest it's ever going to be is 62. Mm. But there's going to be little to no wind, which is pretty good. I mean, it's going to be actually perfect weather to play fall golf. But we've got to do such a good job of setting up where we want to hit tee ball. And that's been our bugaboo. When we do a good job of getting the ball in play off the tee and getting it to where we can score our ball with our irons and our putter, we've played well. So we really need to do a good job of that. And it might be Pumpkin Ridge. You know, that the course is getting older and older, and these kids are hitting it further and further. So there's going to be a lot of three woods. It's going to be up to Coach Bird and I to do a really good job of selling our players. Let's hit three wood here. You know, I know the hole's 465. It doesn't matter. Let's hit three wood. You can hit it. You can hit three wood 270. You know, and you can hit your 6 and 7 iron between 180 and 195 yards. So let's play to this. And let's get a little more conservative, and then let's work on our execution. We need to do a really good job of getting used to the green speed. I anticipate the greens being fast. It will be perfect bent grass, which I think our players putt bent grass very, very, very well. So I'm looking forward to that. We kind of got a weird deal. We got three of the guys will be playing a practice round at 8:30 in the morning. And then two guys will be playing in a college am with some of Nike's corporate people who they're bringing in. That's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we got two different waves. We got to make sure that the two guys playing in the afternoon realize that's not going to be the conditions for the tournament. We're going to be teeing off early every day. The entire field will be. We'll be going off early off of 1 and 10. The tee times will be condensed in an hour and a half time, starting at about 7:30 in the morning. So from 7:30 to about 9:15, all the teams will be going off both sides. So don't get caught into the air is going to be a little thinner in the afternoon. It's going to be a little hotter. The ball's going to go a lot further. You know, we need to make sure we make those adjustments.
Do those two get to walk with you all in the morning? Are they allowed to walk with the guys in the morning?
Yeah, they can. Okay. They can. And that's probably what they'll do, at least maybe for 9 holes, and then go back and practice and just kind of start preparing. Because once they finish the college am, they won't be able to practice. They'll be done until we compete the next morning. So they're going to need to get there at least, put in at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of practice before they play at 1 o'clock.
All right, so assuming that Pettit is able to travel with you, is going to be fine, is going to be healthy, who else are you going to take with you, and what's the lineup going to be?
Cottom will be going, a junior from Knoxville. William Nottingham, that's our only senior from Kingsport, Tennessee. Colby Patton, a junior from Fountain Inn. Jacob Bridgman, a sophomore from Inman, and hopefully Pettit, who is from right now Boone, North Carolina.
Been there, know that. Know Boone, North Carolina fairly well. So, and just you know, describe your team. You were talking about it, right? You know, you got to figure out driving. The length of these kids today is just so prodigious. I mean, it's just a lot of times people are saying they're just hitting the ball and going and chasing it and hitting again. But where do you really see the strengths and weaknesses of your team?
Honestly, I think our wedges are good. I think we wedge the ball very well, and that's one thing we stress with them. Usually we drive it very well. And if you're going to drive it very well, there's no reason for you not to get really good with your wedges, because you're going to have so many opportunities with wedges. I think we have a good putting team. I like what we do with the putters. Our speed is usually good. When we get off with our putters, it's usually because we don't know how hard we're hitting it. So we're always working on pace, always working on speed. But I think they know how to putt. And I think they understand the process. I think they understand that, you know, all we really need to do is try to hit the best putt we can right now. If it goes in, fine. If not, let's go make the next one. Don't get caught up in outcome. Don't get caught up in makes and misses, because that does nobody any good. They get that. We're trying to filter that into our ball striking as well. We need to do a really good job of setting up targets on the golf course, you know, making sure that we know where our sight lines are, making sure we know where our misses are. One good thing about being there as many times as I have is I'm pretty sure I know where the hole locations are going to be. So we're going to be able to kind of set some plans around the greens. All right, when the hole's here, here's our preferred spot. You know, here's X. We need to be right here. I think that'll help. But the guys do a good job. They get it. I mean, they know how good we can be. As of yet, we don't, you know, we really don't have a Bryson Nimmer. We don't have somebody that's going out there and dominating golf tournaments like he did last fall and all year last year, really. But I think that can emerge. You know, somebody said, well, who's your number one man? I said, well, Pettit is when he plays well. But right now we've got a bunch of number two and three guys, you know, which is great. Our number one guy or our number five guy can play just as good as our number one guy. And look at Cottom. Cottom finishes third at the farm. And when we go to Maribel out in Phoenix, he was our fifth counter. You know, so I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. It's just going to be up to Coach Bird and I. If we can get three guys playing very well at one time and the other two guys kind of brother-in-lawing and chipping in, we're going to be a hard team to beat.
You mentioned putting. This will be my last question for you. What's your philosophy of putting? I mean, you talk about the greatest putters of all time. I've always been of the belief, look who's the number one in the world. That's the greatest putter at the time. Brooks Koepka right now is the best putter, I think, on tour. Jack Nicklaus may be the best putter ever. Obviously, Tiger Woods, great putter, just unbelievably good putter. But all these guys seem to have different philosophies. Nicklaus's was, I'm just getting into the front of the hole and it's going to drop. Woods was more of a guy, I'm going to putt it so that it gets a foot, maybe 18 inches by. What do you tell your guys' philosophy of putting?
They're all different, but that is something we do talk about. I am the ultimate die putter. When I played and competed, I never wanted my ball getting low. I never wanted it to be low of the hole. I always wanted the ball high and coming in. If it was always high and coming in, it can't get too far away. Once it gets past the hole and gets low, that's when it gets away. Some of my guys have a hard time seeing that or kind of grasping that concept. I always like to putt high. Let's just go high. If you think it might break left, you better be hitting that putt to the right. You know, but be committed and be confident with what you're seeing. I don't think our guys have a problem with committing to what they're seeing. I think they see pretty good lines. I think they feel the speed pretty good. It's almost like your golf game or your ball striking game where you want to be a little more conservative. I think if you're always high, you know, not only does the ball have a better chance of going in the hole, but I think it's more of a conservative approach because you're not going to three putt as much. And if we can cut down on some of the mistakes on the greens. I was really proud at Maribel. You know, our stats have gotten so intensive right now that, you know, just like the PGA Tour, we have pluses and minuses for virtually every aspect of our games, you know, plus and minus on approaches, plus and minus with drivers. If we can be in the plus column with our driver, and if we can get into the plus columns with our putter, if it's stroke gains, with our putter. We're going to beat a lot of people. At the farm, I think Cottom might have been the only guy that had one day that was a stroke gained with putter. Everybody else was minus. It's minus, minus, minus. Well, you're just giving up shots to the field. Well, at Maribel, it was a totally different deal. I think for the most part, every guy pretty much every day was either around even or was to the plus side. Well, if we can continue to do that, and I think that just takes a little more of a conservative approach. I've got a guy in the right now that he gets mad at himself if he leaves a 30-footer short. Well, I don't care if it's short. If it's a foot and a half or a foot short, great putt. Well, he's upset at that. He'd rather have it 4 feet by the hole. Well, he's going to three putt. I mean, he's going to miss that 3 and 4 footer sometimes. So those are the kind of little things that we're working on with their mental approach to putting. But there again, you want to be a little bit leery of that. You don't want to take away the fact that they're trying to go out there and play great. Mm. And they're trying to shoot 65 or 60 or whatever it is they're trying to do. But there's smart ways to go about it, and we're trying to find that smart way.
Well, certainly all the best as you work your way through the fall. And really, it's all a build-up. We need to remind people, y'all going to be hosting an NCAA regional at Cliff Falls coming up this spring, and that is going to be huge for the program.
It really is, especially the way the golf spectrum is kind of shaking out right now. We've got Wake Forest number one in the country right now. We've got Duke at number two. We got Georgia Tech at number four. So one of them teams is going to be the one seed at our place. Good chance we'll be the two seed. But it's going to be some phenomenal caliber of golf that will be played at the Cliffs Falls. And I'm really excited about it. And I know the Cliffs communities are excited. We played out there last week, and the golf course is already in phenomenal shape. So I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in May. And the field will be fantastic. And it will have an NCAA final feel to it. They do such a great job for the Clemson Invitational, but it's more of a not a party, but it's a more relaxed atmosphere. You're going to see some stressing going on, especially by me in May. But it's really going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, certainly all the best to you. There you go. Larry Pinley has been our guest here on the podcast this week. Hey, don't forget for everything Clemson Athletics, including following Coach Pinley and the golf team, because Tim Bure will have great coverage of that. I guarantee you that will be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday out in Oregon for that event. You can also follow it live. Golf Stat will have it if you want to follow it there as well. But for everything Clemson Athletics, ClemsonTigers.com right there at your fingertips. For head coach Larry Pinley, I'm Don Munson. Thanks for being with us. Go Tigers.